more.
My husband is older than me, and he is not of the texting generation. It doesn't matter what I text him, get milk, he is picking up the phone and calling me back to discuss it.
So, getting you out of your comfort zone.
So you want milk, honey? Yes, for my text.
Welcome to Mum Life Community, where we are mothers uplifting mothers. Thank you for joining us today, and a special thank you to our sweet ladies who join us each week for our lively and often very honest discussion. Today we're talking about maintaining a love relationship in the crazy world of raising a family. I'm passionate about the family, and I love being a wife and a mum. My name is Helen Smallbone, and I'm your co-host.
And I'm Heather Houlet. You know, Helen, we've all had different marriage experiences, mm-hmm. and some of us have had very happy marriages. Some of us are struggling right now, and some are separated. Some of you, if you are listening today, are single raising your children. And most of us, when we enter into this God-ordained relationship of marriage, probably had little idea of what we were doing. We came in with certain expectations that are not based on any sort of reality, and actually, that can lay a rocky foundation at the beginning. But these expectations are myths. They're actually myths that need to be exploded. And the first myth that I'd like to just touch on today is that marriage will make me happy. Our happiness, it can't be dependent on another person. And God is the source of peace and joy. And He understands all that makes you, you. And everything in our lives flows out of our relationship with God. Everything.
Yeah. And then another myth that is often believed when we enter into marriage is that I thought marriage would make me whole, that my husband would complete me. You need to know who you are before marriage.
So good.
Because all of us are going to bring baggage into our relationships, and the marriage relationship is the closest relationship that you can have. And we need to each slowly unpack that baggage from our bag and throw away our stuff. And some of this stuff will be poor role models from our own homes.
Yeah.
It'll be hurts from past relationships and feelings of inadequacy. But gee, the good news is Jesus came to give us freedom from all these burdens.
So good. And myth number three is, I met my Prince Charming and we will live happily ever after.
Too much TV, too many movies.
I call this the Cinderella syndrome. There's no marriage that will be perfect, just as you or your Prince Charming are not perfect. We're all imperfect humans. And what the movies do not tell us is that love is an action word, and that we need to choose love each day and then act on that love. And then the quote unquote feelings of love will follow.
Mm. And at the end of the day, we all want a happy and healthy marriage where we feel safe, loved, and cherished. Mm. So we want to share with you today some of the main principles that will help to create a thriving marriage in the crazy world of raising children. I think one of the first foundations for that is to prioritize your husband.
Absolutely.
It's so easy to overlook him and our relationship with him.
Especially when there's so much with kids going
on
and busy schedules.
Yeah.
They can be the first
you,
to be.
You're like ships passing in the night. And I think this is the most important relationship in the home. We need to cultivate his friendship. He should be your best friend.
Yeah.
He probably was before you married and before kids. And remember that the things you did remember about the things you did before you had children, and set aside time to do them regularly.
So good. And also, it's important to become a student of your husband and learn to understand him, his needs and his hurts. What makes him feel special? What makes him feel loved? You know, God designed marriage as the foundation of the home. And I love this metaphor that I recently read. Marriage is the ringmaster of the family circus.
And sometimes it is a circus.
A healthy marriage really does lead to a healthy home.
I think another important principle to remember is that each marriage is unique. And you can protect your marriage by not comparing it to other marriages and other relationships. Just because Betsy's husband does the dishes and cooks delicious meals doesn't mean your husband should, or in the case of my husband, could. Just as we are unique as individuals, so every marriage is unique.
And to think the best and not the worst, because as we think, so our actions will follow, right? Mm-hmm. If we're critical of our husbands, then we will demean him in our actions. But praise him, think good thoughts, focus on his good points, and remember the things that made him so special to you. List them and be thankful. Oftentimes, when someone comes to me with a struggle in their marriage, I will challenge them to think back to their wedding day and be reminded of those emotions and those feelings. Because sometimes we can get so caught up in the day-to-day that we can actually forget how we feel.
Mm. And I think it's so wise to try as best you can to keep a short list of wrongs. Mm. Resolve conflict quickly and learn to forgive. Mm. I heard a wise statement once that said, you cannot forget what you cannot forgive.
Mm, so good.
And that we forgive because God has forgiven us.
Yeah, so good. A good verse to keep in mind or post in your home somewhere, you know, on your bathroom mirror, have it framed in your home somewhere, is Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Can you imagine what this world would be like if we all lived by that verse? Mm-hmm.
And I love those words on how to relate to our husbands. Be kind and tenderhearted. Mm. And I think it's something that often we as mums find it easy to do to our kids, but not quite so easy to speak to our husbands with kindness and being tenderhearted. And I also want to challenge you to seize the moment, because it quickly passes. And one of the things that I love about my husband is that he has an adventurous and spontaneous and unafraid spirit. I'm probably pretty planned, and so I can have my days very planned. And particularly when we were younger, he'd be like, let's go for a drive this afternoon, or on a Sunday afternoon especially, let's send the kids to their rooms for a rest so we can have some time together. Or on Friday afternoons, it'd be, let's go away for a few days. And all of those were a lot of fun, but they weren't in my list of to-dos. So my challenge is to get out of your comfort zones, celebrate your marriage, and keep the passion alive. Good statement. Mm. Remember, you were a lover before you were a mother.
So good. So good. And while it's also healthy and a good idea to invest in girlfriends who we can talk to and gain advice about real issues that you might be facing, and other women who understand your daily struggles, it's important to never talk negative or demeaning about your husband to your friends. Husband bashing and comparison are very dangerous to engage in for your marriage. And I think that this is one of the biggest breaches of trust that we can have in our marriage.
Well, Heather, I think we've given our listeners, some food for thought. And I'm interested to hear how our girls that we've got here with us, how they keep their love relationship vital and happy in the craziness of their homes. And I know these girls, and I know there are a few crazy homes. So welcome, girls. As we know, we're all different with different needs and priorities, and we've all had some different experiences. So a couple of questions for our discussion time. What are some principles you practice regularly to keep your marriage healthy?
I'd like to know.
For me, I had to get out of, because when we had kids 2 years apart, less than 2 years apart, so I had to get out of it. It's hard, but I had to pull aside from being such a constant caregiver to my kids to trying to be what my husband needs in a wife. Mm-hmm. And when your kids are young, that is not easy, because the last thing you want to do is give more of yourself, especially if you're a stay-at-home mom. I commend stay-at-home moms because they don't get enough credit. I was, when they were younger, I had nothing. I was just exhausted.
Yeah.
So even now, working, I've got to make sure, and I do fail, but I've got to make sure to give my husband that time.
Yeah.
And tell my kids, go do something.
And I think sometimes we can get a little guilty and feel like it's another thing on our to-do list. Instead of really appreciating it and enjoying it, it's like, oh, now I've got to spend time with him. I don't know. It could be more a chore.
I make my husband lunch every day.
He obviously works from home.
No.
Oh.
He doesn't.
My husband
he
should not listen to this.
No. So he, I mean, This is like the least amount of time he's spent away from the home in our marriage, but he's always worked a ton. So I would wake up with the kids and I'd make him lunch, like sandwiches, or pack leftovers in like easy containers or whatever. But I try to make him coffee every morning, and I do make him breakfast. I make him all the meals.
all the things.
I try to. He works really, really hard, and I appreciate him. And like servant, doing service is my love language. Yeah. And that's what I think he wants, even though I know that is not his love language, but that's the easiest for me to do. And he knows that now, that that's like how I speak love to him. But I don't know. I try to keep the house clean. I do all those things. But the biggest thing that I see when there's like a disconnect with him is that we're not communicating, that we are passing in the night, and there's no like, hey, I'm really tired, or I had a really rough day. Like, I love you, but please don't touch me. Like, I can't do this. Like, I just, I can't.
You're at the end of your.
Yes. Yeah. And I usually it's when we're not communicating that to each other that there's a tension.
Yeah. And how do you resolve that tension?
We try to intentionally, like, we'll have coffee together before he leaves for work, or we'll go for a walk without the kids, and
one-on-one time.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like. Whatever for your schedule.
Yeah, it's different every day. It's not always the same. We try to spend a little bit of time together each day, or sometimes I'll just catch him on the phone at work. Like, if that's what the day is, I'll try to call him. And, hey, do you have a minute to just talk about whatever needs to be talked about? Because he hates coming home from work and me bombarding him with all the to-dos. Yeah. You know, this is which each kid, when you have four kids, there's always something like this kid needs this. And then, you know, extended family and trips and finances. And he doesn't like that. So I try.
It's good. We try to have sex 2 to 3 times a week.
Mm. Wow.
I think that's it's definitely vital for keeping a marriage.
Absolutely. Now, listen, we don't, that doesn't happen every time, every week, but because I'm really bad at a lot of the other things, which that seems to be the thing but seriously, we come together. Like, I feel like I want to like punch his face off some days, and then we come together in that way, and it does change the way that I view him. And
I agree it just does. It definitely softens and puts you both into a very together space.
It does.
It really doesn't have to be at night right before bed after you've had a long day. Like, get creative and tell your husband to come home for lunch while their kids are at school, or like...
I agree with you on that.
Put the TV on, or let them play video games and take 10 minutes, you know.
And I think that's a part of the spontaneous and the creative. And I think as women, because we're so planned, it can get really hard to get our head around. But I agree with you, some of the best moments that I've had in marriage is the spontaneous.
And I will say, almost every single time, this is a horrible statement to make because, I mean, everyone can hear this, people who... are going to know our family. But almost every time I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm exhausted. I do not want to. He's wonderful. Like, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with everything that I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
And then every single time I'm like, man, I'm glad we
made the effort.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not trying to be crude or weird. I'm just like, that is the truth. That, and I feel like they're, in any conversation I've had, like with my small group ladies or whatever, that is the conversation that comes up.
Sex.
That, because it's such a challenge.
It's such a challenge, but yet it's probably the most important thing you can do for your husband to be intentional about, to keep that connection.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm trying my best in that area. I'm not as good.
It's like working out, you know, like it's hard to get started, but once you start, you're glad. When it's over, you're glad you did it.
You feel alive.
It's so true.
I love that analogy, actually.
It's true.
So I think I'm not the typical woman, and I feel like women have this, there's like an expectation of women to be able to multitask. Mm. And I am not a good multitasker. I'm like, I can focus on one thing at a time. And so I've actually found that in my relationship with my husband, my kids, and my relationship with God, It's like I can only do one thing at the time. So I find
great that you've gotten to that realization that that's who you are. Because I can imagine it would have been very frustrating with the demands of a family and all the things that we do on a day-by-day basis if you didn't recognize that you can't multitask.
So I was thinking about it even, you know, the last day we were recording here on the drive home. I thought, it's amazing how I can go from like crazy mom at home where I just feel so overwhelmed by the pressure. And I'm like, I feel like I've got heart palpitations with the stress of it, all the demands everywhere. And then I have like 15 minutes in the car on the drive here. I listen to some worship music and I feel so close to God, you know, and it's like, I just needed that space. And it's the same with my husband. You know, I just need 30 minutes on a coffee break on my own with him to realize, oh, I love this man and I so desperately want your time and your affection. But when I'm in the busyness of the kids, I'm like, wait, my husband left and I didn't even notice he's gone already. You know?
I think what a lot of people don't actually admit or don't even realize, like I've said I'm literally realizing this as you said this. My whole life I've been like, no, I'm a great multitasker. Like I get all the things done, right? Not great at all, any of them, because I'm serious, because I'm not connected to that thing at that time. And I feel like that's like a huge maturity and awareness of yourself to be like, I can't do that. Yeah. Like, I don't need to live up to some expectation that I should be able to do all of that. Because that's me.
Well, I think a lot of people can do it, but I mean, I can. Like,
probably
I feel
not
like
well.
It's.
But are we doing it well? That's the thing.
At the expense of something else being neglected.
Yeah, there's always a sacrifice.
Or you're doing 100 things halfway.
That's it.
Good.
And then you feel guilt. I feel guilt for it because I feel like I'm so spread and I'm not giving my best to any one of those things. You know.
That's so good.
So.
There are moments where my husband wants to talk to me and whatever I'm doing in that moment, I can't give him what he needs. And I'll say, honey, will you pause just for 1 second? Let me finish this. Because I am a multitasker, but when it comes to my undivided attention, I have a hard time giving all my attention to a bunch of things. And I'll tell him, would you just hold on 1 or 2 minutes? Let me finish this so that I can listen to you. Because I know it's important what he's saying, but I don't want to hurt his feelings. But I want him to know I care about what you say and it matters to me. But let me do this so I can do that for you.
Like, we should put the multitasking to, you know, cooking and putting some dishes away and giving the baby some and not like listening to somebody who's trying to talk to you. I'm serious because I'm really bad about it. I mean, I'm going to continue to do this thing. Well, obviously they don't feel like I'm truly engaged.
Mm-hmm. And my husband will sometimes say that to me. He's like, just put it down for a second. Like, put it down and focus on me for a minute. I'm like, wait, just let me finish this one task before I put it down. You know, because I don't like leaving something in the middle of it.
Well, my children are constantly accusing me of loving my husband more than I love them. And I tell them, I tell them it's true. And like, they know, like, certain, like, no, that's special. That's for dad. Don't touch it. So, like, he that's is great. Like mm-hmm. number awesome. One. Like, I want him, I know the things that he likes. I want him to have the things that he likes. There are plenty of things, like, based on my personality that he suffers from. Like, he's very A type and neat, and I'm very, like, messy, and my brain's all over the place. But he's so gracious to me because he'll say, you know, I realize the things about you that probably drive me crazy are the things that allow you to like see past all my stuff and love me really well. Wow. So it took like 16 years to get to him to realize that and appreciate.
And lots of frustration, I'd imagine.
Lots of frustration.
So hold on, ladies. Hold on. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll get there. But keep one working. Thing, very early on in my marriage, I had this realization, like when I stand before God, it's just me and him and there are no buts. So I don't get to say, you know, if I fell short of how he called me to be a wife, I don't get to say, but did you see my husband? Or, but no, it's just me and him. I'm responsible for me. Was I the wife he called me to be? It's not dependent on anybody else. And that really helped my perspective because when it's just me and him, and was I who he called me to be? You live differently. Mm-hmm. And that's how I've approached my marriage. So it's never, I don't have a right to react. I want to interact with my marriage, interact with the situation, but who I am is not dependent on who my husband is in a moment. And that it helps keep things from blowing up. And that doesn't mean they don't sometimes. Sometimes I have to pull back and
repent.
Well, you are. We're all imperfect.
Like, yes. You know. But and then another thing that I'll tell other women, and I tell myself, is you cannot imagine a life without your husband. Like, it all starts in your mind. So if you can allow your mind to start wandering to a place where you think that you could be happier outside of that relationship, you're setting yourself up for failure. Oh, there's no life I want to live without my husband. Mm. There's no life I could ever imagine being better. Mm. So, like, that's it. So I really think taking your thoughts captive and making, so we don't stay mad long, because I don't want to live in a world where we're not talking to each other.
Yeah.
I don't want to live in a world where we're mad at each other. I want to be happy and enjoying each other. And
I had a friend tell me once, they were having a rough time in their marriage, and she's like, but I still love him. So I begrudgingly wake up and make him coffee. I'm really mad at him, but I love him. So I still do the things for him. And I don't know, I think that sets you up to, like, forces you to get past whatever.
Where your feet go, your heart will follow. Yeah.
I think it's the definition of love being that action verb. Word.
Yeah.
Because you act on the love, even if you're not necessarily feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
And the crazy thing is, when you do change your perspective, or when you do have that mindset that I can't imagine life without this man, that I'm going to make this work, you do. You find ways. You modify things. And then God does come in and heal things. Mm-hmm. So it's great.
And just like how love is an action, so is humility. And I think that it's just as important. So you are, humility is continually putting others above yourself. So if I'm continually remembering, like, he's a child of God, and I am to see him as better than myself, and walking in humility, that really helps too, how you're interacting.
Great points there, Janice.
So good.
I feel like I have a similar marriage situation to Janice. I think I've said this before. Like, I feel like I'm a much better wife than I am mother. I'm much more successful in the wifing department. But I was going to say one thing that helps our marriage, and this is actually something my husband does. He travels a lot, so we spend a lot of time apart. I mean, typically I would say he's gone at least 5 days a week. And I am of the texting generation. I want to send texts. I do not want to talk to you on the phone. My husband is older than me, and he is not of the texting generation. It doesn't matter what I text him, get milk, he is picking up the phone and calling me back to discuss it.
So, getting you out of your comfort zone.
So you want milk, honey? Yes, for my text. But all that to say, he travels a lot, and he calls me a lot while he travels. He calls multiple times a day. He makes that effort to talk. And I think it's really beneficial for a marriage, especially a marriage where you're not together all the time, to not just constantly be communicating over text, but to actually speak to each other. And like, honestly, like, we talk so much that there's nothing to even say. I'm like, why is he calling again? Like, what? Nothing has even happened that I can tell him about. Like, I'm still folding the laundry, you know, like, but you have that, you know, but without that, I don't know that we would have the connection that we have, especially with him being gone so much. I feel like we would eventually have sort of disconnected. So anyway, my encouragement would be maybe not always text each other. Maybe actually speak with your mouths.
Love it.
I mean, because I have friends that text each other, like, on the couch while they're next to each other, you know? Like.
Did you see this? Well, my husband used to travel a lot, but because of the pandemic, his whole industry, he's been home. He's been working outside the home. And so our roles have kind of reversed, where I work outside the home, and I come home to, you know, the mess of the day, or whoever was the kids that were home, you know, quarantined, or, you know, remote learning or hybrid schedule, trying to keep up with whoever is passing. But we are two ships passing in the night. This is our season right now. And most of our conversations are about which kid is having which issue and how we resolve it. And it's tag, logistics. You're it. Or, you know, coming home like, oh, I had, you know, you won't believe the day I had. Oh, well, you should hear, you know, comparing days. And like, we just have to agree. We both had a hard day. It's been a rough day. How can we just come together and relax? So I think it's just the season that we're in is just kind of, we'll get beyond it. But right now it is kind of like, I don't know, it's your turn.
You, I think, go take, there's a lot of people in that right now.
I agree.
With the remote learning and people, parents trying to work, and it's probably just super stressful.
Yeah. And I came home one day and I kind of unleashed on him, because I was like, well, the house is a mess, but I'm still doing the role of the stay-at-home mom that I feel like the task that I
used to do when I didn't have a job, but now I feel like that's still my role. And I was like, but you're home all day, but he's working too. Like his, right. And he, not only is he working, but he has taken over dentist appointments, and we have 5 kids. Mm-hmm. So dentist appointments, doctor's mm-hmm. appointments, and it's always at least an appointment a week mm-hmm. or, you know, therapy. We've thrown that one in there now because of the pandemic has brought out a lot of, you know, emotions and stuff. So I had to just sit back and like give him a lot of credit because he's going above and beyond. And
he still whisked you away recently. He surprised you.
He's really good at that. And because I think he knows, and I'm not the multitasker either. Like I can only focus on one thing at a time. Even talking to my dad on the phone, like I can't load the dishwasher. Like, and Randy is a multitasker. Mm. He will do all the things and he will do them well. His brain works that way and he can go in 5 different directions at once, but I'm not that way. And so we have to celebrate our differences. Yeah, and I think he sees in me, like, we do compliment each other, you know, my wacky brain, and I leave all the cabinets open. Like, that's my latest thing. Used to be the peanut butter on the counter. Now I leave the cabinets open, and he's just realizing he can just go shut the cabinets and not even say a word about it. And
I think that's a huge thing in keeping a marriage healthy is to give grace to each other.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Realizing, and I loved Janice's comment that I'm responsible for me. I'm responsible for my actions and how I behave. And I think that's a huge thing. And it's not relying on somebody else. Mm-hmm. And if you can give grace and recognize that you're responsible for your own actions, it goes a long way in keeping contentment.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest things that we're struggling with, but we're trying to figure out, is expectations on each other. So he's been home since, I think, March of last year when we had our son. And then his job had him stay home to work, and then he's been home, and then we've moved into full-time ministry, so he's still home. but the expectations on one another, where I can handle certain things, he can't. And where he can handle certain things, I definitely can't. He's usually the one that does the cooking and the grocery shopping and stuff like that, whereas I'm taking over with the kids for the most part and you know, cleaning most of the house, even though I definitely make them do chores.
Yeah.
But when I have something extra that I have to do and he has something that he has to do, but he has to take the kids with him, it's harder for him to handle that because his mind is work and not kids. And so if I had to take them to do something similar where I'd have to bring the kids, I could handle that more.
Yeah.
And so my expectation is, well, why can't you do that? But that's not how he's built.
Yeah.
And so that's something that we've been struggling with. And I think that's a huge thing, is not putting those expectations and trying to find a different way to handle it. Because that's been like one of the hardest struggles of right now, is I'm expecting you to be like me and you're not like me.
And I think that's as women, I think we do tend to want our husbands to be like us.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was a situation in my home, and I think a lot of mums would relate to it, where at the end of the day and it's bedtime, I can't wait to get those kids in bed and be done. It's like it's like a breathe a sigh of, they're all in bed. And my husband likes to drag out the bedtime, and he likes to lie with the kids and give them pats and talk to them. And I'm like, just get into bed. Like, good night. And so when he's either not around or whatever, then they're like, well, Mom, come and lie with me, or come and give me pats. And I'm like, like, and so then I would say, you create a noose for me. They are expecting, they enjoy that, but they're expecting now me to do that, and I can't do that. I'm done at the end of the day. I just want them in bed. I want to relax, whatever. And so we've got 7 kids. So for our last 2 kids, he actually dropped it. And I realized that they missed out on a lot mm-hmm. of special time with their dad.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was making him like me.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't. Mm-hmm. You've got to embrace your differentness as mm-hmm. husbands and wives, because he was doing something that had meant a lot to my older kids, particularly my older daughter, that those younger ones missed. And so sometimes what we think we want is actually not what we want. And when we get it, we're like, no, what are you doing? You know? So, yes, embrace the differences.
That's good. I was just going to say, Helen, you know, you talked about the spontaneity and how important that was, you know, and for you listening today, if you hear something like that and you're like, there's no bandwidth in our family or our schedule or our time for that, just the importance of that, because I remember being a new mom and my husband and I were very spontaneous before we were married and even in our first year of marriage before we had children. And I think I realized it for the first time. We lived in Nashville during the flood of 2010 and I had a new baby. And, you know, there was just the whole street was flooded. Trash cans were floating down the street and we heard there was cars stuck. And my husband and I's first instinct was, well, let's go walk down there. It's about a half mile away and help them. And I couldn't go, you know, and it's like that spontaneity of like, let's just go and do it and help. And that's what, you know, that's what we're going to do. And I couldn't go because I had the baby. And I think it was my first realization of that spontaneity. Here's me and my husband, who our first date, we were shipwrecked in the Pacific Ocean, you know, on a sailboat. So that's, you know, our adventurous spirit. I had to stay home to keep the baby safe because the baby could not go in that environment. And I think it was then that I realized that, you know, and that's, you know, we're talking about a trauma situation with a flood. But, you know, in general, those things, so oftentimes mothers can't do. They can't be spontaneous. They can't leave on a dime. They can't go do those things. But to be able to find how to do that, you know, in the little things. And we lived in an area where we could walk to Starbucks. And so instead of being so strict on a bedtime for our baby, we kept him on our schedule. We'd put him in the Bjorn and we would walk together at night, go get a coffee, walk downtown. And that was our time together rather than feeling like the baby has to go to bed. The baby was fine. The baby had no idea. He was getting his sleep. He was on our schedule. But finding those times for the, hey, let's go just walk down and get a coffee. I know it's 8 o'clock, but let's go grab a coffee together and hold hands and walk down the street. And finding spontaneity doesn't always have to be some huge ordeal or, you know, swept away for a weekend or expensive. Or, you know, sex before breakfast, you know, if the kids are awake or the dogs are barking and need to be let out. You know, there are ways to find it. And I think it's so important to be intentional about finding it in the busy schedule.
I agree. All right. Question number two, ladies, what are some things that cause problems between you and your husband and how do you resolve these?
Oh, I want problems solved right away. Like I'm this is a problem and I know how to fix it. Let's work through it and get it done, or a project. And my husband's not always that way. Like I can be very spontaneous. Like I'll decide to paint a bedroom at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and he's like, what are you doing? And things like that. But even if it's a finance problem or there's like a bill that we came that like I'll have to figure it out. All right, where's the money coming from this? Like where's that getting paid? And he'll be like, let's just enjoy the weekend. We don't need to figure that out right now. And that causes some issues. I don't know the answer to it. It's just a work in progress, I think.
For us, a big problem for probably our biggest conflict in our relationship is when we feel like our lives are on different pages, like we don't have a common goal or a drive or something we're working on together. And that kind of feeds into the last question as well, because I think in those periods where you feel like you're just going through the motions, and sometimes for me, there can be a little bit of resentment around it, like he's doing exciting things, I'm doing the boring day-to-day stuff. And so for us, what's really helpful is when we find dreams together. You know, it doesn't have to be something we're doing in that moment. And it doesn't have to be like a big thing. You know, it could be like planting a garden together in the summer. Or sometimes we talk about our old age that we want to buy like an RV to travel in together. Just having like a dream of something that we're going to do in our future together is helpful for us in those moments where we feel like there's like a disconnect.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's good.
I think the biggest cause of strife in our marriage is whenever there's something like on a time frame or it's giving me anxiety or strife and it just needs to be done. And like, if you just get it done, it's easier. I will avoid it like the plague. And I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. My husband says I put my head in the sand and he's very like gets it done. I mean, he's a hard worker, but he can be like kind of curt when he's doing it. So it's like, I don't want to, not only do I not want to do it, but I don't want to do it with him, you know, like, but I know if I'm just like honest with him and I lay it out, he will, it will get done. He will take care of it and it will be done well. And so we get in a lot of arguments over it because.
It's all this stuff.
Yeah. It could be any number of things, like a project that needs to be get done, like something with work, like 6,000 items need to be removed by on our website. You know, and it's like he could get it done. I might not like his attitude as it's getting, but it gets done. And then we're all happy when it's over. But or even stuff with like our financials with our business, you know, like it. And it's usually once it's taken care of, it was so minor. I had made it so much bigger than it was. So one thing I've learned is to trust him, but then tell him, bring it to him and say, I'm nervous to tell you this, or like, I'm afraid this is how it's going to go. And when I tell him that, he comes at it a lot calmer, like because I'm trusting him with the item, like instead of.
I think that's a big element, Jonas. I think as women, we expect our husbands to be able to read our mind. Mm-hmm. We just think, why can't you see that this is an issue for me? Like, and that's in our mind. Whereas what they want is they actually want to be talked to about it. They want to be asked about it. They want to be communicated with. And I think that does cause a lot of strife of us just have getting attitude because can't you see that this is a big deal? Like, without actually verbalizing
anything. And sometimes I don't want to, like, I'm like, if I know there's a certain thing and I can tell where a conversation's leading and I'm very, very honest and open, but I know, like, oh, this conversation is going to lead to him asking me if I made that phone call, which I totally did not. You know, like, I'll try to, like, navigate because I know where it's going and what's going to happen. Where if I'm just, like, open with him, like, hey, I'm feeling really nervous. I did not make that phone call. And he always responds so well. It's, like, mm-hmm. just when I'm, like, trying to, like, keep it from being brought to the light that it doesn't go well. So for me, anytime I'm afraid to talk to him, I start with that. I'm nervous to talk to you. And that always makes it go so much better just because it didn't even occur to him that I would be nervous to talk about that subject. Mm-hmm. And then like once that's out, or I'll say there's something that I need to talk to you about, but I'm afraid. Now you have to say it, you know? So, and then he is always so much softer where if it just like came out like in a roundabout way, he would probably be more explosive or, you know, upset about it.
Yeah.
So.
That's good.
That's good.
We don't really have the word strife. Well, we also have a crazy begin like years ago. So strife is a big deal in our marriage. So we don't have the big level. But I add to it because I have a constant to-do list in my head. Mm. And my husband is in the construction industry. He owns his own business. So he daily has a checklist too of his business. Well, I have one of our lives, our kids, personal, you know, just this list. So when he gets home from work, I'm just so all over the place with my brain that I'm like, let's da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da, da-da-da. And he's just looking at me like with big eyes like, will you stop? But it's my fault because there is a good timing, which I haven't figured that out yet. But there is supposedly this good window and I bombard him when he's in front of me because I know it's going to happen. My kids are going to interfere and want his attention.
Yeah. And then so I'm a moment.
Well, I'm a checklist person too, so I want it out of my brain.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
But it's my fault because I push when I need to. Just when he has those moments, okay, write it down so I can come back to it. So
what
I do.
You need a whiteboard on you on your fridge or something, and just put the to-do list on the whiteboard.
I really do have a planner that I will put sticky.
No, it needs to be up on a board where he can see.
That's true.
That has helped us a lot. We got the Google Calendar, the syncing one that we both have, and then I have a planner I write it down in, and I have a like board on my refrigerator that changes every week. And in the notes part, I'll put like the things we want done around the house. That's my passive aggressive way of.
I just blacked out with all your calendars.
I'm just stressless.
I'm just like, oh, the calendars. Because I've tried that and it does not work for me.
I do have to brag on my husband. Really nice he does come back.
I always buy nice ones at the beginning of the year.
My husband will come back and say, okay, because he is listening to me, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Even his white, you know, that blank stare, he'll come back and say, okay, now tell me about da 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 da. So, but my method is completely wrong. Yeah. And my delivery.
I think too, it's important to go back to what we talked about being a student of your husband. Because for me, early on in marriage, I think I had this perception of kind of like what you said, Janice, like that they would think the same way or do things the same way. And, you know, realizing that at the end of the day, I have this 100% assurance that I know my husband loves me so much. And I know that he's not doing things to upset me or make me mad or slack because he doesn't care. It's oftentimes just a difference of a female and a male brain and in how we function and how we operate. And it's not personal, because I think so easily as wives, we can take that personal, wives and mothers and the day to day. And, you know, I've mentioned before about a speaker that we heard that talked about, you know, when your husband leaves his coffee spoon on the counter, it's not because he's thinking, oh, I'm going to get her this morning. He's just not thinking, you know, and those little things that I've seen in marriages just explode to bigger and bigger because the resentments build up. But to be able to stop it with the small things and say, you know, I joke around when we were first married and my husband left the toilet seat up and I would think it was so cute. And now it's not cute anymore, you know, because I didn't grow up with brothers. It's like, oh, he left it up. You know, it's not cute anymore. But the stopping it with those little things of like, he didn't do that on purpose. He didn't do it to intentionally hurt me. We just operate a little bit differently. And to be able to give grace on both sides, because I'm sure I could have plenty of things that would irritate him as well. But at the end of the day, knowing we love each other deeply and we're best friends and we're in this life together. So,
and I think that's the strong foundation. Yeah. We love each other deeply. Mm. We're best friends.
Yep.
And to give grace.
Yes.
And I think if you can manage those and keep that focus of your mind as positive on that we do love each other,
yeah,
the rest sort of falls into place.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage the listener, you know, my husband and I have been married nearly 46 years, and it honestly gets sweeter. It's such a privilege to grow old with somebody that you love and who loves you. Yeah. It's actually a beautiful thing that I want everybody to be able to experience, because it's God's best plan. Mm. Mm-hmm. And so keep on loving well. Thanks, ladies. Well, Heather, I felt the girls shared very openly and honestly about different aspects of
such a great discussion.
Yeah. Their lives. I thought that it was fascinating to me, the thing that came up, that, you know, we love God the most and then we love our husband next. And even the kids know that.
Yeah.
I was intrigued. You said that, well, your kids have said, well, don't you love all of us the same? And what I really think when you make the comment, I love my husband next, it's really prioritizing your husband underneath your relationship with God and what he thinks. And that's the strong foundation of a happy home and a healthy home. God first. Your relationship as husband and wife next, and then the kids follow after that.
And then it's a different love. You know, I make sure my kids know it's a different love, and you'll know it when you get to be an adult and have a husband or a wife, so that they don't feel like, you know, their love is less. It's a different love, but daddy's first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that prioritizing, I think encouraging your husband. I love that verse that says, again, about being kind and being kind-hearted and speak kindly to him. I think that's it was a really good thing.
Yeah.
I love the fact that love is an action word. Yes. I think that's, we've got, sometimes we don't feel that depth of emotion or feeling in our lives, but we've got to stand on the fact that I love this man, that it's an action word.
So good.
Well, it's been such a privilege to have you listen to us today. I just want to close out with a prayer to ask God's blessing upon our homes. Oh, Lord Jesus, we ask you to come. You see our listener and you know her situation. I just pray that you will help her lean into these principles and prioritize her marriage, prioritize her relationship with her husband. May she focus on the good in him and encourage him. And may your Holy Spirit guide her on how to love him better by honoring him and treating him with respect. Lord, we just ask that you would protect their marriage and that your hand of blessing would be on their home. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for being with us today, moms. And thank you for listening at Access More or wherever you podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And while you're there, we would love to hear from you. So be sure to rate us and drop a review. Have a great week, moms, and make sure to uplift another mother.